Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. Today on this episode of Evidence and Answers, the discussion gets very personal. Many Christian parents know the heartbreak of watching a son or daughter walk away from Christ. In today's special broadcast, Waiting for the Prodigal, Doug Anson shares his powerful story, both as a father and a man of faith, to offer encouragement, hope, and wisdom for the journey. Now let's jump right on in. Here's our host, Pat.
This is Evidence and Answers, where we provide compelling evidence for faith and hope in Christ and biblical answers to the issues of today. Well, we have a special show today we titled Waiting for the Prodigal. You know, one of the most heartbreaking experiences many parents face is to see their son or daughter walk away from Christ and the church. Well, what do we do in those situations? Well, to help us address this issue is Doug Anson. Doug is the academic director and military outreach of a great ministry we partner with here at Evidence and Answers. I encourage you to go to their website and look them up, Apologetics on Mission, Apologetics on Mission. He is the coordinator for their apologetics training courses, where they train Christian leaders in apologetics all over the world. He is a retired major general with a dual track career, both with the Army and as a civilian at Los Alamos National Laboratory. He holds a master's degree in apologetics from Biola University and teaches apologetics at home and on mission. So, Doug, welcome to Evidence and Answers.
Oh, thanks, Pat. What a thrill it is to be here. And, you know, we haven't known each other very long, but boy, I feel what a partner. We already have been partnering together, and I look forward to even more. But thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And, Doug, I believe this show is going to minister to many Christian parents who are heartbroken and often burdened with guilt, you know, because their son or daughter perhaps has walked away from Christ and the church. So, Doug, being that this is your first time with us, tell us a little bit about your faith journey to Christ.
Yes. Well, I grew up in, I guess I should use the word, nominal Christian household. We attended church every week, but didn't have many discussions about our faith at home, didn't open the Bible at home. I think over the years, both my sisters and my parents drifted away from their faith, but for some reason, God wouldn't let me go. And so I was probably an immature Christian for many, many years, but always felt, you know, people have asked, typically Christians get asked, well, when did you come to know Jesus? And I almost feel embarrassed by saying that I have always felt the presence of the Lord, always. In fact, I could say that I'm not sure I've ever been actually lonely, because I've always felt the Lord has been with me, walking with me. Now, maybe I wasn't always paying attention and being a good Christian, but I always knew he was there. So he never let go of me. And so grew up in what would be called today a progressive denomination. I won't name it, but met my wife. That's another long story, but my wife is from Korea. We've been married 43 years. And she came to know the Lord really after we got married, because she followed me to church and through own experiences came to know Jesus and the Lord, and what a blessing that has been. Mm-hmm. Two children, raised two boys, and they grew up in a Christian household. And we were attending that same denomination, but I was active in the church, and they were too, in young life as well. And so I was gradually growing in my understanding of my faith. But as we'll talk about here shortly, I don't think that I was very good at articulating not only what I believed, but why I believed it. And so that led to why we're having this discussion in terms of where my older son is at this point in time and how that has actually drastically changed and accelerated my journey as a Christian. So I don't know if you want me to get into that immediately, but that's really what we're going to talk about here.
Yeah, tell us about your son's journey.
Well, because as you mentioned, I have two careers and they overlapped. So for, and this is relevant to my son's story. For the first, I'm a West Point graduate and I spent 13 years in the active component, full-time military. And then in the early 90s, after the Soviet Union collapsed, I got out, joined the reserves and went to work at Los Alamos National Laboratory and was actually home more because I was more stable as a National Laboratory civilian employee through the 90s, and my sons were growing up. But then 2001 hit, and I was called back on active duty many times, 5 times, in fact. So between 2001 and 2013, I was called back on active duty 5 times for 7.5 years. Now, where that's important is obviously that really disrupted our family. That left my wife by herself raising the two boys in their critical teenage years. And looking back, I think there was a lot going on that I wasn't there to address. And so there were issues with my older boy. And so when I was back home in between mobilizations, I'd go back to work at the laboratory and try to address those teenage kinds of issues with my son. But towards the end of my military time, my son went off to college, and he was still, at least in my mind, was still a Christian or some sort of Christian. He certainly had not denied his faith. And while he was home, he attended church with my wife and younger brother. But it was either in his last year or two in college or shortly thereafter. And I was on active duty my last assignment, and I was stationed at that time in Tampa, Florida. I was part of the special operations community. All my two sons came home. That was our temporary home in Tampa at the time for Christmas. And I said to my older son, my younger son, I said, "Well, we've got Christmas Eve service tonight at 7 o'clock, so let's get ready." And my older boy approached me, his face changed. And you could see he had built up the courage to tell me that he no longer believed in God. Did that shock me? Yes, it shocked me. Although looking back, I'm not so sure he ever really accepted God or Jesus, but he had never denied it like he did there. And he said, "I'm not going to church. I don't go to church anymore." Well, the guilt came over me. I was not angry or upset at him. Per se, it was more internal. The guilt also led me to think, okay, where did I fail? And that led me to think, do I really understand my faith? And do I understand it enough that I can really articulate it well enough? And looking back, I think I didn't do a very good job as a father. Of course, those disruptive years when I was not around was not helpful because perhaps I would have picked up on some signs. But because of his statement and conviction at that moment, I said, "I have got to get more serious about my faith. I need to really understand what it is that I believe, why I believe it. And ultimately, it's so that I can come back and talk to him in a way that he'd be willing to listen, that he might understand." And that kicked off a journey of really the last 10 or 12 years that perhaps I wouldn't be having this discussion with you right now if that had not occurred.
Yes. So I guess for parents with young children now, one of the things you and I are greatly encouraged is for them to really instill apologetics or knowing not only what you believe, but why you believe in the life of your children at a very young age. But looking back now, what would you advise parents with young children right now?
Well, if it's all right with you, let me continue this story a little bit because frankly, I didn't know anything about apologetics at that point. I think I had read Mere Christianity several years prior, but I didn't connect that with this branch of theology called apologetics. And frankly, none of the churches that I had belonged to, and because I had moved around so much in the military, we'd been part of many different churches along the way. I don't recall them ever talking about this thing called apologetics. So I retired from the military shortly thereafter, and I decided in order to dig into my faith, I wanted to go back to school. Not that I needed a degree, but I thought, I'm going to dig into theology. What is it that I really understand? In the course of searching for a school to go to, I recall in my church, there was an adult education class, and believe it or not, they were teaching systematic theology. Now, this is a church adult education class, and using the Wayne Grudem book. I don't know if you're familiar or if you're aware
Sure.
of that. Very thick book, 40 some odd chapters, I think, and so many references there at the end of every chapter as opposed to at the end of the book. But God apparently wanted me to read a particular book. I don't remember what chapter it was, but it was called The Universe Next Door by James Dyer. I think you're familiar with it. Maybe the interesting title just jumped out at me. Well, I ordered that book and I read it, and that was really my introduction to apologetics. Now, that book is about worldviews, and it talks about what is a worldview, why does a worldview matter, and then examines in each chapter various worldviews, starting with the theistic worldview and then getting further and further away. And I remember finishing that book thinking to myself, boy, if you could read this book objectively without any bias, I believe you couldn't help but walk away and say that if you don't believe that Christianity and the biblical worldview is the true characterization of reality, it's certainly the most plausible. I mean, it's just so comprehensive and consistent and whatnot. And this was the first real intellectual awakening that I had in my faith. And so I was just amazed at that. That led on a search to this discovery of apologetics. I ended up applying to Denver Seminary because we moved from Los Alamos after I retired from the laboratory to Colorado Springs. And Denver Seminary is about 50 miles up the road. And a series of God things started to happen. We arrived here in Colorado Springs, and I'm searching for a seminary to go to, and I discover Denver Seminary, but it was the summertime. I thought, well, what do they have going on in the summer? Do they have anything? And they said, oh, they have a course open to the public for $15 every Tuesday night, starts next Tuesday. And I clicked on the link, and it was a course on worldviews. And guess which book they were using? Universe Next Door. I enrolled in that course, met Doug Groteis, who at the time was the head of the department, and I enrolled in Denver Seminary Apologetics program. Now, having said all of that, now I'll come back to my son. So I'm sitting in my very first apologetics program, Introduction to Apologetics by Doug Groteis. The third assignment was go out and speak to a non-believer, and in the course of that discussion, draw out that non-believer's worldview. Now, I knew what a worldview was. I had read the book. We'd had some class discussions. I had no idea how I was going to draw out somebody's worldview, but I knew exactly who I wanted to talk to. Obviously, my son. Now, I thought at the time, and it turned out to be true as I learned later, that Dr. Groteis did not want us to, he really wanted us to go to a coffee shop or something and sit down and have a discussion with a stranger and have that deep discussion. But I decided I'm not going to ask him. I'm going to talk to my son. What ended up happening was this great, great discussion with my son over, at that time, FaceTime. This was pre-Zoom, 2 hour discussion about his worldview. And it was such an impactful discussion, certainly to me, and I believe also to him, although he's still wandering. But I thought that I had come across a way to talk to somebody like my son in a way that they were willing to talk and would eventually, with continued discussions, potentially lead them back to the gospel. And so it was just an exciting thing. We can talk about that particular discussion and what took place in it, but it kicked off my desire to learn more about worldviews. I approached my church and said, can I teach? Would you allow me to teach a little bit of apologetics with a focus on worldviews and evangelism? They let me do that. And I did that for several years. And then that eventually led me to continued studies, got my degree, and got connected with this ministry, AOM, which wasn't Apologetics on Mission at the time. So I'll pause at this point, but that kind of sets up both my journey into apologetics, my interaction with my son, and now involved in a ministry that I couldn't imagine that I would ever have been part of at this point in my life.
Yeah, I think that approach, and as I've talked to many parents as well, I think that's an outstanding approach. Instead of panicking, and getting on a phone and trying to preach to our child, to sit down and have a discussion and ask them, how did you come to this conclusion? Those kind of questions. Where did you get your information? Explain to me a little bit of your belief. I think that's a fantastic approach because I think a lot of the problem is the communication begins to shut down because they don't want to talk to mom or dad because they know they're going to get preached at thing. So I think, did you think about it or you just kind of stumbled across it through your assignment?
It was, I would call it another God thing. It gave me an opportunity to talk to my son, and I called him up. He was living in what I call the great Christian Mecca of San Francisco at the time. I say that obviously jokingly, but he was living with his then fiance, who we didn't know very well. We assumed she was not Christian, but I called him up, and his name is Byron, and I said, "Byron, I said, would you help Dad with his homework?" And he thought that was funny because here, Dad's back in school, and I was in my late 50s, I think. Believe it or not, there were several other people my age back in school studying apologetics, very similar reasons as myself. They had somebody in their family, whether it was a son or brother or sister or spouse or parent, they were trying to figure out how to talk to them. So I asked my son, I said, "Would you help me with the homework?" And he said, "Sure, Dad." And so I explained to him exactly what the assignment was. And I said, "Would you be that quote unquote non-believer that we can have this discussion?" And he said, "Sure." He goes, "What's a worldview?" Well, again, the world, the guilt comes over me, but frankly, I didn't know what a worldview was several years earlier, so it was not surprising. And I said to him, I said, "Well, Byron, a worldview is nothing more than an underlying set of beliefs that you have, which you may or may not be fully aware of, but that causes you to see this world in a certain way. And you hold certain moral positions and social positions, maybe even political positions, that really stem from those underlying beliefs." And you know what he says to me? He said, "Wow, I don't know what those beliefs are. Let's have this discussion." I was taken aback. And I said, "Well," and then I got bold. And I said, "Well, do you think Keeley, his fiance, you think she'd sit in on this conversation?" And he goes, "Oh, sure." And I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "You're going to marry her. I'm going to be her father-in-law. We don't know her very well." I said, "These questions that I haven't figured out yet are going to be pretty deep and personal. So if she's not comfortable with that, please don't push her into this." And he goes, "Don't worry about Dad. She'll be glad to sit in." So everything was positive up to this point. Of course, I hadn't mentioned God. I hadn't. He probably wasn't drawing the connection between this thing called a worldview and religion or God or Jesus or the gospel. And I'm sure he was not drawing that connection. And he was willing to help me. So I said, "Well, give me a couple of weeks and let me figure out what I'm gonna. How we're going to do this, and we'll get together." He said, "Okay. Do you want me to describe that conversation? You want me to continue with that, or?"
Yeah, I think a lot of us are interested in what was it that caused him to reject Christ. His belief system may kind of represent where young people are kind of at today as how they view maybe Christians.
Well, to be honest, I didn't know at this point, and that was really my not so hidden objective in this discussion, was to find out what his worldview is, and from that, I try to discover how he ended up with that worldview versus the one he grew up in. We met 2 weeks later again on FaceTime, but what was real interesting about this was I was getting to actually watch him as well as listen to him. I did a couple things here that I didn't realize at the time how important they were, but turned out to be real important. So I said, I thanked them. I said, "Thank you for helping me with my homework. I got to write this paper." I said, "So, But a couple of ground rules here. I said, number one, if there's any question that I ask you and you just don't want to answer it for whatever reason, that's fine. You don't have to explain. The other thing I said was, I am not going to challenge you on anything that you say. I'm here to listen. I want to understand what you're thinking, right? Now, I think that took the burden off my son. And so, he and I had had our disagreements growing up. He probably figured that this would turn into some sort of an argument or discussion, heated discussion. But I guess the Lord told me to just ask questions and bite your lip. And I'll tell you, as I asked questions and heard what they had to say, it was very tough for me not to respond when I heard some of their answers. Now, we've since had follow-on discussions where we got into that, but so that kind of set the stage, and I think I heard more from him than I might have heard otherwise if I had just interrupted or challenged him. I was all ears. It was all about understanding where he was coming from. And I think he appreciated that. Dad was really going to listen to him. And maybe I hadn't been the greatest listener in the past. So we proceeded through what I call three levels of questions. And the first question I asked, which later I termed the church question, when you meet a non-believer and you start to talk about faith, early on, we Christians typically ask, well, did you ever go to church? And with young people nowadays, who have walked away from their faith, you'll typically hear something like, "Well, I grew up, went to church, my parents made me go, and it was boring. And once I got away, went off to college, then I stopped doing that." That's typically the response you hear. Now, I didn't have to ask my son, "Did you ever go to church?" I knew the answer, but I thought, well, I'd start with her, and I said, "Keely, did you grow up in church?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Do you have any Christian friends?" And she goes, "Well, I don't know, maybe. Not sure." I said, "Have you ever had any problems with Christians?" "I don't know." It was almost as if Christianity was not on her radar screen. And so, just to fast forward to the end, I mean, we'll talk about some of the details. I concluded later when I wrote the paper that, oh, by the way, she finished up by saying, "I have never been in a church." Now, here is a 35-year-old woman, never been in a church. Now, that stunned me. Later, I concluded that my son is a first-generation non-believer. He has made the decision that he does not believe the gospel, he doesn't believe in God. And so there are significant challenges and issues and hurdles that he and we are going to have to get over if he's ever going to come back to the Lord. I suspect, I don't know this for sure, in her case, her parents may have been first generation non-believers and didn't raise her and her brother in any sort of spiritual environment whatsoever. Church was not there. And so she didn't have any hostile feelings towards Christians. Wasn't even aware of whether she had any friends that were Christian. Just never was not on her radar screen. Which, as I learned as we had this discussion, she is potentially more open to wanting to understand more about spirituality in general than my son is. And maybe that's because she doesn't have these, she didn't make a conscious decision to walk away from the faith. She just inherited that. An interesting, maybe hopeful sign for youngsters that have not been raised in any spiritual environment. Well, we got past that point, and I said, all right, now I'm going to ask you a bunch of today controversial questions, political, social ones. And I said, how you answer these questions will not define your worldview, but will be windows into those underlying beliefs that cause you to answer them the way you do. So I asked them questions about abortion, about gay marriage, about nuclear weapons, given my background and my son's background, and a whole bunch of controversial issues. Now, if you were to put them on a political scale from liberal to conservative, they were way over on the liberal side. Okay, so when they answered many of these questions, I found it difficult not to respond, but I held to my promise. I didn't respond, but I was taking lots of notes.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.